Oops. Uh-huh.
I can do it without it.
Okay. Were you there when he rose up from the dead? What a thought. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. His death, which we celebrate on the first day of the week in the Lord's Supper, would be absolutely meaningless had he not arisen 3 days later. And so I think it's good for us at times to look at the resurrection, because we tend, and rightly so, we have the Lord's Supper to commemorate his death. But as I said, and we will see from a scriptural standpoint, his death would be entirely meaningless if there was no resurrection. And so I want to talk tonight about the significance of the resurrection. The very issue of the resurrection. According to the four Gospels, Jesus rose from the dead following his crucifixion. Either that is a fact, or men have lied, and we have believed a lie. There is no other choice. Because these men, as again we will see throughout this lesson, said they were eyewitnesses of the resurrection. If they claim to be eyewitnesses of the resurrection, if they record in Scripture an event that did not happen, then they have lied to us. And all of us then have believed a lie. Matthew records how the women found the tomb empty. Matthew 28, 1 through 8. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. Just as he said, come, see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. Excuse me. Can you imagine that no matter what he said, recognize that these people did not entirely believe that he would be resurrected? Okay? That they weren't sure. Mary Magdalene, there is no doubt in my mind, came to the tomb to do, of course, what they did. She came to visit the dead. In other accounts, you know, it says, "Where is he? Have you stolen him?" She came to visit a dead person, and she gets there, and he's not there. And an angel says to her, "It's as he told you. He is risen. He's no longer here." And on her way back, Jesus appeared to them. In Matthew 28, 9 through 10, "And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to him, 'Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave Galilee and there, or leave for Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Can you imagine having been there? You know, and until he comes again, the best we can do is read about it. They were there. They touched him. They spoke to him. And as we will see, his disciples even ate with him. But what's significant about this? Why is it important? Well, we're going to look at two aspects tonight. The first we're going to look at is, why is it important to the unbeliever? And then secondly, why is it important to the believer? Well, first of all, as we said, what is significant about the resurrection to an unbeliever? Huh? Well, first, it verifies the deity of Jesus. The resurrection proves that Jesus truly is the Son of God. Romans 1, verse 4, "Who was declared the Son of God with power," here it is, "by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord." Declared the Son of God, not by his death, but by the resurrection. It also demonstrates that he truly has all authority in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28, 18, Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Look at Acts 2, 36. "Therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." How can he be made Lord and Christ if he's dead? What's significant? Can David reign over Israel as king today? No, why? Because he's dead. Jesus can only be Lord and Christ if what? Having been crucified, having been put to death, he has been raised from the dead. It verifies the truthfulness of Jesus. Jesus foretold his resurrection on three occasions. Matthew 16, 21 says, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day." And while they were gathering together, Matthew 17, 22, 23, "And while they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, 'The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And he will be raised on the third day.' And they were deeply grieved." In the 20th chapter, 17 through 19, it says, "And Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem. He took the 12 disciples aside by themselves, and on the way he said to them, 'Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him. And on the third day, he will be raised up.'" So Jesus himself prophesied his resurrection. Not only his death, but his resurrection. If Jesus was telling the truth in describing his suffering and resurrection, then the matter is that he must have been telling the truth in everything else he said. Obviously, the opposite of that is true. We're not going to delve into that, but we must accept the fact that if he did not raise from the dead, then we can't believe anything that he said. Okay? The fact is simple. Having said it himself on three occasions, he declared all that he said based upon truth to be based upon whether he rose from the dead or not. Because if he did not rise from the dead, nothing else he said was truthful. We can't depend on anything he said. But having risen from the dead, we can depend on what he said. And therefore, the following teachings of Jesus are as true as his teaching concerning the resurrection. He was from the Father above and spoke the words of the Father, John 8, 28 and 29. So Jesus said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me, and he has not left me alone, for I always do the things that were pleasing to him." No one can come to the Father but through Jesus. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." That's a fact. If you're an unbeliever, that's got to be significant, especially in a world today which is fraught by a variety of religions and by a variety of churches that call themselves Christian. And by the path that many are accepting, the idea that there are many paths and many ways to get to God. Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Folks, you cannot get to the Father through Muhammad. Can't do it. Cannot get to the Father through Joseph Smith. Can't do it. Cannot get to the Father through Mary Baker Eddy. Can't do it. His blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins. Matthew 26, 28. "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." He came to offer the abundant life, or life abundantly. John 10, verse 10. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And when he left this earth, now here's a significant thought. If he did not raise from the dead, he did not ascend to heaven in Acts 1. All of it is a lie. All of it is either a figment of somebody's imagination or it's just the story. And if it's just the story, when Jesus said in John 14, verse 2, that in my Father's house are many dwelling places, "If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you." And of course, in that same passage is the promise that he will come back again. John 14, verse 3. "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And one last thought. There will be a resurrection of the dead. John 5, verse 28 and 29. "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, and those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. If Jesus was in fact raised from the dead, the significance of the resurrection for the unbeliever is enormous. It compels unbelievers to come face to face with reality and the need to accept the lordship of Jesus Christ. But what about believers? What about the significance for you and I? Well, we're going to start first with the negative. What if Jesus hasn't been raised? Paul deals with this. This isn't just a kind of a vague into nothingness thing. The Apostle Paul deals with this idea. The Apostle Paul simply states the fact. He says that if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, gospel preaching and our faith is in vain. Whatever I stand up here and teach is vanity. Whatever it is that you believe is vain. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain, and your faith also is vain. Not only the preaching of the preacher in modern day times, but we can go all the way back to the apostles. Whatever it was that the apostles preached and taught was vanity. There would be no purpose in preaching and teaching about a liar or a lunatic. Our belief in Christ would be empty, meaningless. Our faith would be that of the world, in liars and hypocrites, lunatics, crazy people. If Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then the apostles themselves were false witnesses. Think about it. 1 Corinthians 15, 15. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. Paul's simple thought here is, and understand it, by the time that Paul was preaching, from a Jewish standpoint, the Sanhedrin was in control of Sadducees, and the whole Jewish hierarchy, the high priesthood, everything was in control, or was controlled by the Sadducees. There was, by the time that Paul was preaching, a definite leaning in the Jewish community against the resurrection of the dead. Paul is dealing here within the Gentile community of Corinth with the idea that there were those that were talking about there being no resurrection of the dead. He says, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ himself has not even been raised. And if Christ hasn't been raised, our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. And then he comes to verse 15, he says, moreover, then, even the apostles have been found to be false witnesses of God. See, they swore that God raised Jesus from the dead in Acts 2, verse 32. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said, this Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. He not only claims for there to be a resurrection, but he claims to be an eyewitness of that resurrection. They claimed to spend 40 days with Jesus after his resurrection. We see in Acts 10, verses 39 through 41, we are witnesses of all the things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. Folks, this is the Jesus that died. And so, then, we are still in our sins. Because I said in the beginning of this lesson, if Jesus has not been raised from the dead, his death is insignificant also. Notice what Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 7, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, you are still in your sins. The purpose of his death was the forgiveness of sins. But that death does not forgive the sins if there is no resurrection. Believers have perished at death. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 18, then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Think about it. If there is no resurrection, all of those that since I have been here, we have said goodbye to and spoken so eloquently of and said we hope to be with them someday, have simply perished. And then ultimately, Christians are to be of all people most pitied. 1 Corinthians 15, 19. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. If there is no tomorrow, if there is no resurrection of the dead, and our resurrection of the dead depends upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul says that we are of all to be most pitied. It's interesting, you know, I've often heard people make the analogy, I've even made it myself, that even if there wasn't a heaven or a hell, and even if there wasn't a God, from a psychological standpoint, the Bible would be the best way to live your life. You ever heard that? I have. I've even said it. But Paul doesn't seem to agree with that. Paul says that if we have hope in Christ in this life only, we of all people are to most to be pitied, of all men are to most to be pitied. Because we have believed a false hope. But, here we got to it. If Jesus has been raised from the dead. Aha. Now, there's the thing. Now, based upon eyewitness account, based upon the information that we have available to us, based upon all the evidence, what is the truth? Well, if Jesus has been raised from the dead, it verifies our justification. Romans 4, 24 through 25. But for our sake also, to whom it will be credited as those who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. The fact that Jesus has risen from the dead verifies the fact that Christians have been justified. Jesus claimed his blood would be adequate, folks. Matthew 6, 28, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." That's a fact. We have been justified by the blood of Christ. By raising Jesus from the dead, God demonstrates his acceptance of Jesus as a sacrifice for our sins. Romans 8, 33 through 34, "Who will bring a charge against God's elect?" God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God's chosen one. He has raised Jesus up, and he sits at the right hand of the Almighty God to make intercession for you and I. It demonstrates the power available to the Christians. Ephesians 1, 18 through 20, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places." The power of the Almighty God is what we have available to us. And what is that power? Well, it was the power to raise Jesus from the dead. Power available, made available at our conversions, Colossians 2, 11 through 12. "And him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." The power to be saved. The power of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is available to man today. In the very picture of what baptism is all about. Power available to live the Christian life. Romans 8, 11 through 13. "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live." There is power to live the Christian life. It gives us hope concerning our own resurrection. You know, we've already said it. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, there is no resurrection of the dead. 1 Peter 1 verse 21 says, "Who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." See, my faith, my hope is based upon God who raised Jesus from the dead. His resurrection gives us a living hope. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Especially concerning the resurrection of believers. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 14. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. And as such, then it demands our complete loyalty to him. The significance of the resurrection demands our complete loyalty to Jesus Christ. Romans 14, 7 through 9. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one dies for himself. For if we live, we live for the Lord, or if we die, we die for the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. He was raised and then exalted to become our Lord. Acts 2, verse 32 through 36. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured forth this which you both see and hear. For it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. As we said earlier, we need to understand that he could not be Lord and he could not be the Messiah if he was not raised from the dead. And of course, the very beginning of our verse there, this Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Thus our lives and service belong to him. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15, and he died for all so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. The impact of the resurrection of Jesus should not go unfelt in our lives. As a historical event, and it was historic, as a historical event, it has everlasting implications, both for the unbeliever and the believer. The unbeliever needs to look into the evidence, needs to examine the evidence, the nature of the testimony of the witnesses, the unfeasibility of the alternate explanations. The unbeliever must come to the conclusion that nothing else could be the truth except that this dead man, as he said he would do, rose again on the third day. And if he did, then there is no reason to believe, not to believe him in all that he said. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. That's his words. The believer must never lose sight of the significance of his resurrection. For it is the power of that resurrection that gives us hope of eternal life. Where do you stand today? Are you right with the Almighty God? Have you, on the basis of the truth, obeyed God, been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, to rise and walk in the newness of life? The very metaphor, the very picture painted by baptism is of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is how we put on Christ. It is how we clothe ourselves with Christ. Okay? And if you've not been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, then you have not clothed yourselves with Christ. You have not put on Christ. Maybe you need the prayers of the congregation for some reason. I don't know what your need is. But please let us know as we stand and sing the song that Brother Rodrigo selected. Lord.